Let's go.
Tehillim, Parakei Tetz. Maskele Eisen Azrachi. So this is a song that's given over to Eisen Azrachi. Now, who is Eisen Azrachi? So some say that Eisen lived in David Melech's time. And in Melachim Aleph, we see that when Shlomo Melech talked about how he was wiser than all men, even than Eisen Ha'azrachi. So it seems that Eisen Azrachi was a guy that lived in David Melech and Shlomo Melech's time. Others say this is Eisen, the son of Zerach, the son of Yehuda. Azrachi is a reference to Zerach over here. Others say this is just a random person who happened to be a poet. That's our third opinion over here. And our fourth opinion is that Eisen Azrachi is a reference to David Melech himself, and that it's a line for him himself. We remember the word maskil is like seichel, like enlightening, and something that's like supposed to be an uplifting type of thing. Now, unfortunately, this is going to be some harsh words, because even though this is a tremendous seichel de katehillim, he's wondering what in the world is going on in the world. Chas Hashem Olam Mashira, I'll speak about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever. L'dor v'dor o'zi'om enascho v'fi. For every generation, I will sing your emuna, your faithfulness, over everything else. So before he gets into anything, he's starting off with like Hashem society talk via Gitil Asecha. I want to start off telling you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great you are and how the chesed is going to be there. That's the idea behind it. Because I always said that Olam, the world is filled, is built upon Chesed. Shemayim Tochin Emunascha Bahem. Your heavens are established with the Emuna within you. And that's the idea. What we're trying to say is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, or David HaMelech is trying to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu, the world cannot exist, will not continue to exist without Emuna within you, without our Emuna in you, without your Chesed, without you being able to help us. And loving kindness itself. David Moshe Rabbeinu, when he first was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Bnei Yisrael were going to be destroyed, he told them, he said, if a chair of three legs wouldn't be able to stand, then how could a chair of one leg stand? If you're going to destroy all the Jews and make all Bnei Yisrael come from me, and then I'm going to be the future of Bnei Yisrael. Well, if Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov weren't good enough to be able to save their children later on in the future, how am I going to be good enough to be able to do it? It's like wobbly legs. There is such a chair as one thing. It's like a milk stool type of thing. Right? How is that going to stand? Nothing's going to happen over there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that you work through Chesed, and we know that the Chesed, without it, we wouldn't be able to move. Karati bris l'bechiri. I made a bris together with my chosen one, me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nishpat l'David Abdi. I've sworn to David my servant. Now, this is a reference to the singer, Eisen Azrachi. If it's David, it's to me, myself, right? But if it's not, then Eisen Azrachi is saying to David, right, my servant. This is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking, Karati Brisul Bechiri, right? My chosen would be Bnei Yisrael, Nishpatu L'David Abdi, for all those who work with David HaMelech himself. Ad Olam Achin Zarecha, that I will establish your children forever, and Eberu Benisil Dover Dorki Zachasel, and I will allow your throne to be built for generation after generation. Now, we look at this now and we're like, well, yeah, of course, David Melech's line, right? But there was no way that David Melech could have known that this would last 2,000 years later, 3,000 years after he was living. Remember, Shlomo Melech was also promised a Malchus, but the Malchus didn't last more than one generation after him, and then it was gone. Here, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that it was going to last forever. The Yodush Mai Pelacha, that all of the heavens are going to acknowledge your wonders, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even your faithfulness among all the holy people, that everybody is going to say how great it is, because when the skies can be compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who could be compared among the people of might, all the people of strength and everything like that. Obviously there's no one else to go to aside from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no one else to ask or anything like that. The word erech also references a value. If you've heard of Arachin, the Masechta Arachin, which is by far the most popular Masechta at all Shas. I'm surprised you haven't done it 6 or 7 times already. But Arachin is the value of a human being. And that's what it means, Miyaro. Who could make a set value for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands for? El Narutz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revered, dreaded almost. Besod Kedosh Rabbah, in the great secrets of the Holy Ones upon high. The Neira Al Kol Siyavin is awesome above all those who surround them. Now down here, obviously, you have a human kingdom. Everybody looks at the king, they're scared out of their minds. We can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way, but the Malachim do, and the Malachim are scared out of their minds. We say that there's a Nahar Dinor. Have you ever heard of that river? In Greek mythology, it's called the River Styx, right? Styx. It's the river that's made with out of fire.
We don't have the water.
I'm sorry.
The Zohar says we don't have the water.
Yeah, it's the opposite. In Shemayim, the river is made of fire. Where is the fire made from? It's from the tears of the Chayos. Why are the Chayos Chayos Hakodesh? Why are the Chayos Hakodesh crying because they're so scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the constant presence being near HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes them to cry, and that's where the river comes from, where that Nar Dinur comes from. By the way, it's a side note, Dinur is Dinur of fire. Nura is Aramaic for fire. That's why it's called Dinur. It's an Aramaic word that comes from over there. By the way, regardless, this is the idea that the angels are in dread of you. Hashem Elokei Tzvachot goes, Micha Moch Chazen Yo, who is like you, who can protect and do everything that Muneskos Yosef, your faithfulness is all around you. You rule over the proud part of the sea. This so galav, when the waves rise, you calm them down, you make them praiseworthy, etc. Remember, waves always references the non-Jews while we're in Galus. That's what it refers to. The Jew is a ship upon waves. You remember the Rabbah Barachana Gemaras from Bavas in the 5th Parak. All of those Gemaras are all about Rabbah Barachana says, I was a ship on a sea, I was in a ship and I was going up and a wave went up and whatever it is. All of those are referencing what it's like being a Jew in Galus, that you're going up and the swelling of the waters is one nation after the other trying to destroy the world or take over for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rahav, you destroyed like a corpse, Rahav. Rahav is the angel of Egypt, the Malach that was in charge of Mitzrayim. You were able to destroy them and put them in totally destroy them. With your strong mighty arm, you scattered all of your enemies over here. Okay, so that's a reference to the Egyptians themselves. They were known as Rahav, right? And then it's anybody else. All of your enemies that came up against you, you were able to destroy. All right, you have the heavens, you have the earth. The world and everything in it, you founded them and made sure they were in the right place. The north, and the yamin is usually a reference to the right. Here it means the south. You have created them. The mountains, Tabor and Hermon, which were the highest mountains in Eretz Yisrael that they would have known about at the time, they sing out in your name. All of the different areas that are there, right, the north, the south, and all of the different areas, the power that's out there, they all rejoice in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. And that's the idea. Now, it's interesting. Tabor is an area where they used to plant crops. Hermon is a place of snow. I think we all know that. If anybody's been skiing in the Hermon, if you have been, I'm impressed because I definitely could not afford that when I was in Eretz Yisrael. But either way, regardless, both rejoiced in you and they understood what they ended up getting. For sure he did. Sure. Your arm is with mighty, with that strength. Wait, strength.
Is it Tabor? That's what they call? Isn't that one of the type of machine guns? Is there a reason? Is there a correlation?
You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Tibor is what they call it in English. Mount Tibor. He's on his way back right now. The cause of the Gvura, you have an arm with might, with Gvura, Ta'oz Yadcha. Your hand is very strong. Tarumi Minecha. You lift your right hand up high. Because righteousness and judgment is the throne of your glory. Chesed and Emes will come before your face. And now you might recognize this pasuk. Happy are the people that know your shouts. Hashem Ba'or Panachi Aleichem. They go in the light of your face. So you might recognize this from
Rosh Hashanah.
We say out this line, Hashem Ba'or Panachi Aleichem. That's one of those. However, we also, does anybody know where else we say this? It's only because some people say it when they put on with together with Mayekor Chastacha Elokim, they'll add on these psukim together with it. B'shimcha yigilun ko ayom. In your name they rejoice all day long of Zichos Ko Yerumu, and your righteous name they exalt it. They see only the good things that you give them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore because of that, right, they only praise and they only say out all the great things that you've done. Kisi veres uza mo'ata, because you are a splendor of their strength, of Ritzoncha Tarum. And through your will, our horn is uplifted. Our pride gets uplifted over here. We have a muscle. It could be clarified. Two men journeyed together to the mercantile fair to buy merchandise for their sons who had recently opened shops on their way to becoming financially independent. So way to go for those sons, right? Financially independent. One of the men groaned about the hardships he faced having to travel great distances day in and day out to make purchases for his son. His fellow traveler did not complain. A friend of both asked the first man, why is it you complain so much? But your friend over here, he's not complaining at all. He says, he has a dear son who's pleasing to heaven and pleasing to men. Everybody likes that guy, right? So So his father is happy to toil for him, for his son is going to honor him, and he's going to provide for him in his old age. My son, he's a piece of garbage. And because I know he's not going to be able to provide for me, he's going to squander my money. So therefore, on my way to go get the stuff, I know I'm going to waste my time while doing this anyway. I have to do it to help out my son to become independent, but nonetheless, I know it's just a waste completely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he tampers with the patterns that are made in the world for the benefit of the Jewish people, there's a lot of rejoicing in front of him because he loves his son and everything like that. As opposed to all the others who they are, their sons, etc., right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't treat them the same way that he treats us. The Holy One of Bnei Israel, he is our king, and obviously he's the one that controls. And he spoke in a vision to your Chassidim. You said, I will set upon. Something it means, I put Hashem before me always. Shivisi Ezer al Gibor. I am the one who gave help to the mighty. Hari Mosi Bokar Mayon. I am uplifted, a chosen one from the people, somebody that's going to be in charge. That's the reference. And that chosen one, obviously, is a reference to either Mashiach, or it's a reference to some leader that's going to lead Bnei Israel through. Matsalti David Avdi. I found David Meister. Meshem and Kachim Meshachtiv. I anointed him with my holy oil. The Shemana Mishcha, obviously, that was given over to David HaMelech and to some of his sons. Shlomo HaMelech got it, as well as some of the sons that went out there as well. But it means I found him. It wasn't easy to find a person like David HaMelech. I had to search through Klal Yisrael waiting. I mean, let's look at it this way. There were no kings in Klal Yisrael for almost 800 years. 800 years. We had Shoftim. We had people that were in charge. But we didn't have any kings that were in charge whatsoever. Did I say 800? That's not true. 480 years altogether. Yeah. Because 800 is the end of the first base of Mekdash. But 480 years altogether, there was no king. Does that mean, see, we could look at it in two ways. Maybe that's because Bnei Israel didn't ask for a king until that time. But I would look at it the other way. I would say, no. It was considered like Hashkaka Pratis, that until that point, nobody asked for a king. They didn't feel like they needed it until there was a man like David HaMelech around. Well, and only then, yeah.
The Shoftim tapered off kind of at the same time.
But they got greater as time went on. Think about it. Shmuel HaNavi was the greatest of the Nevi'im. And of him, he was the last of those Shoftim.
Fine, but there weren't all good ones in between them.
You're right. I wouldn't count Avimelech as a Shofe. And you're right when it comes to that. Yiftach and Gidon, see, the Gemara says that Shlosha Kaliol and Shlosha Chumri Olam, that even though they were nowhere near Moshe and Aaron, but they're considered on the same level. It compares Gidon and Yiftach to Moshe and Aaron. It compares Shimshon, right, to Shmuel and Avi, that even though they looked like they did terrible things, in their own way, they were just as great.
That looked bad.
You see, Yiftach we all know because of his daughter, right? Yeah. That's the easy one, and also the Anoshim Reikim. Gideon was also a very interesting person. Now, he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question whatsoever, but he did question him time after time after time, again, asking for sign after sign after sign. He ended up having the war, remember, with the 300 men, right? Down from like 22,000, they ended up choosing the 300 men to be able to go through, but he subjugated himself to the Bnei Ephraim. He was not as strong. And remember, it was one of his kids that killed all the others. That's impressive. Yeah, that's got to be impressive when it boils down to it. So, you know, Asher Yadi Tikun Imo, my hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, will be established with him, with this great man, Afzroi Zemtenu, my arm will strengthen him, give him omits, will give him courage to be able to do what he needs to. Lo Yashi Oyebo, no enemy is going to take anything from him. Yashi is to lie and grab. Ben Avlo Lo Yaninu, nor will any Ben Avlo, person who does sins, will not afflict him. Nobody will be able to do to this leader the way that they do to others. The Chatosim Yipanav Tsarav Umesanav Egoif. I will cut down from in front of him all of his enemies and all of his adversaries. I will destroy all of those who hate him. That's what's going to be. Egoif is like a magefa. I'll send an epidemic upon them so they all get destroyed. My Amunah and my Chasim will be together with this guy, and my name will lift up, or his horn will be uplifted. Through my name, everything will be uplifted, everything will go through. Again, if we're referring to Mashiach, then it's obvious. David HaMelech as well. Everybody will hear about it in the future, and everybody knew about David HaMelech at the time. Pasuk above is Samti Vayam Yado. I'm going to put his hand upon the sea as well. He's not only going to take over the lands around Eretz Yisrael, he's going to take over the Mediterranean Sea as well, which back in the day was a huge source of trade. So to be in charge of the Mediterranean Sea really meant you were in charge of everything. Even now, to say that Israeli planes could travel wherever they wanted to would be unbelievable. Right now we have problems because we're restricted by certain areas and certain countries. That's the Peshat. He will rule over all of that. Hu Yikreini Avi, Avi Yatol. He'll call out to me and say, you are my father. Eli, Vitzuri Yishuazi, my God, and the rock of my deliverance. And he'll believe it. He's not just going to say Avinu Malkeinu and go through. He's going to believe Avinu Malkeinu. That's the Peshat. And what Mashiach is going to be, Apani Bechor Etzneu, I will make him my firstborn. Elyon Mamalkei Oretz, the top, the highest of all the kings of all the land. That's what he's going to be over there. And then again, could a reference to David HaMelech. Lo'olam, Eshmor Lo'chasti, it's Eshmor, right? Without the Vav?
Yeah.
Eshmor Lo'chasti U'brisi Ne'eman Esloi. I am going to keep for him all of my chesed and my bris, which I'm going to get to be, it will be trustworthy for him. Asamti La'adaro, I'll let his children last forever. V'chiso Kimeshlaim, his throne will be like the days of heaven. In other words, it will last beyond anybody else. And this goes, obviously, if the children are righteous, it's going to be an outward type of kisei where everybody knows that he's in charge. And if not, okay, I'm going to have to hide it a little bit. That's what's going to have to be. And the Azmu Vanam Torasi, if his children, they forsake my Torah of Mishpati Lo Yilechem, they don't go on my Mishpatim, in Hukosai Yechalelu, if they're Mechalel, my Hukos, Umitzosai Lo Yishmael, they do not keep my mitzvos properly. If that's what happens, then I will remember them with a rod of their sins, and with Negayim, all of their sins as well. Anything that's going to happen, there's going to be suffering. They're going to be hurt from what they had. Any punishment that they get is based on what they had done before. I will not remove my chassid from him. And I will not be false to my trustworthiness or my faithfulness that I had given before. I will not be over on my bris, and whatever came out of my mouth, I will not change. That's not going to happen. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are always going to exist in some way, shape, or form. The children are still going to exist in some way, shape, or form. Their children will not be destroyed, and especially when it comes to this. It's not like I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, alright, Yishmael's in charge now. Or Esau's going to be in charge. That it's always going to be through him. And the same thing with David HaMelech, that the Malchus is going to be the same way, that it's never going to be moved apart. What do you guys
think? What's the point of saying that, though? Because the covenant has already been made. God's not going to go back on his word.
Maybe we do something so bad that Akash was going to say, you know what, the verse is gone. Yeah, but the bris is, we have to do something as well. So if we totally mess up the bris, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sorry, the bris is over. You broke it.
That's pretty worse than the Chida, you know? Saying that's the only other place that we see that
HaKadosh
Baruch Hu really was
set. It has to be like the
Chayda Egel. It's the only place that HaKadosh Baruch
Hu sets her out. Yeah.
Your
I mean, just remember, if we look at the Chayda Egel as being that only 600 people or 3,000 people were involved and everybody else is just at fault for not getting involved, right, and stopping them from doing it, then technically you're really not even dealing with much, right? Okay. They didn't do. So yeah, then I'd say that this would have to be worse than the Egel as of. On the other hand, to even allow 600 people 40 days after they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu at our Sinai and everything they saw in Mitzrayim for that to happen is another thing altogether. It's like one of the biggest paradoxes. Is the ego is of one of the worst sins that we ever came up with? Or was it just a massive misunderstanding where HaKadosh Baruch Hu just is punishing us for not realizing how bad of a misunderstanding it was? It is interesting in that way. Alright, Pasuk Lamed Vav Achas Nishpat Bekoshim L'David Achazei. I have sworn one thing through my holiness, and I will not be false to David HaMelech. Zara L'Olam Yevachizo Kasham Shagi. His children will endure forever, they will always live, and his throne will be like the sun in front of me. It may be that Shlomo Melech's progeny will not live. I don't know. And it's possible that Shlomo Melech's children never survived, and that there are no kids left from Shlomo Melech. That wasn't the promise. The promise was that David HaMelech's children will always survive. In some way, shape, or form, David HaMelech's kids will survive. And at the end of the day, somebody's going to go up and say, I'm from David HaMelech. It will be established forever like the moon. The Olam, I'm sorry. The Eid Bashakak Nematzel, it will be a witness in the sky all the way up. So it's interesting. Remember, the moon didn't complain when the sun got up in the sky and said to it, because probably you can't have two leaders together at once. Do something over here. Wait, it's the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah.
The moon didn't complain. That's right. Midrash says that when the moon sinned by complaining to the Creator against having to share the sky with the sun, it was punished by being diminished. But its light didn't cease completely. That's what we say. And be steadfast as the witness in the sky, bringing proof from the sun and the moon. The sun hadn't sinned, so it shines constantly. The moon sinned, and therefore it waxes and wanes, and it's called the little one. Right? The Ma'or HaKaton, when it comes to that. Okay. You have cast off, you have despised everything we've done. He said, Barti, you have been furious with the ones that you've anointed. As time goes on, obviously there were kings that were really, really bad. You wanted to deny and destroy the bris of your servants. You wanted to throw the crown down to the ground over here. You broke down all of his fences. You made his strongholds become a ruin. That's what you've done. You've made it into a place where it's been terror. Shasu kol bredar. All the passing, the passerby, they come and they plunder. Hayachir b'lishchinov. Bnei Yisrael has become a disgrace to all of the neighbors that are there. You have lifted up the right hand of all the enemies. You made all of those who hate him, right, or hate Bnei Yisrael, you made them very, very happy. He even turned back the edge of his sword. You didn't let him stand up in battle. I mean, we know that there are many times where we have stood up in battle and things have just gone really well for us, even though we never really meant for it to happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu is now doing that to our enemies. We can't even fight. When Nebuchadnezzar came to Yerushalayim and it was Aradon was brought in, the walls were so strong there was no way for them to get in. They had to wait and wait and wait. Now, everybody knows that if you come from a faraway place, which is where they came from, Babel, you're not going to have enough money or food or drink or water to be able to survive, to be able to stand a siege of a year or two or 3 years. It's not going to happen. There's no way you're going to be able to do it. But it was Razan took one last axe, threw it at the wall, and the whole wall fell down. That doesn't make any sense. That shouldn't have happened. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, and that's it. He spat me to Al-Rob HaKisulor as Migarto. You caused all of the purity to stop, to be rested. And his throne, you cast it down to the ground itself. You threw it down to the ground itself. He starts to email Umov. The day of his youth, you shortened. He looks a lot older than he used to be. Hatisa alav busha sela. You have covered him with shame forever and ever. And that's what he did. The Babylonian exile only lasted for 70 years altogether. But when they returned, he was no longer a Malchus. The Malchus was gone at that point. Even though we know it exists, we don't know how long it lasted. How long will you hide HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever? Will you allow your anger to burn like this mighty fire? I remember how short my lifetime is. And that you created for nothingness. That you created all people over here. The word choled is really like the word chodal. That it ceases, that it stops over here. That everything stops. And then I remember, I know that my life is so short. It's as if there's no reason for me to be here in the first place. Me giver yichya, v'lo yiram avas. What man, or who is a man that will live and not see death? Who can escape his soul from seeing the grave forever and ever and ever? How is that possible for it to happen? We need death in order to be machaper for our sins. What kind of a person doesn't need death to be machaper for their sins? That's the concept over here. How could that have happened? And he says, Ayei chasidecha rishonim, where is your original chasid HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem, nishpata l'David v'amunasecha, that you swore to David in your amuna, that you promised that everything would happen. Zuchor Hashem Cherpas Avedecha. Hashem, remember the degradation of your servants, the Asi Beseki, which I bear in my lap, Kol Rabim Amin, the taunts of so many nations. Asher Cherfu Ibecha Hashem, your enemies have taunted us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher Cherfu Ikbus Mishichecha, they have taunted in the footsteps of your anointed one, that they wish that Mashiach would never come, and they make fun of it. Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amin V'Amin. So that's Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amin V'Amin. Since he kept going through his protests, his lamenting throughout the entire thing, he's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should see this and realize what's happening, and amen, amen, that you should answer our prayers and everything should be all good. Alright, we're going to have to stop with this anyway.
What?
What time is it?
It's 40.
Yep.
You said 50.
Alright, we'll do one. This is a good one though, and I want to make my other safer. Alright, we'll do
we'll
this.
We'll redo it. Don't worry.
Fine, we'll do that. Just remember, by the way, amen is one of the more interesting words. Amen means emunah. I believe in it. I believe that this is so. So when you say the word amen, you're really saying two things. You're saying, yes, it is, and you're saying, it should be. Those are the two things you should think of when you answer amen, right, to anybody that goes through. Emuna, true. It's true what you just said. And so it should be, right? That's the idea of El Melech Ne'amon, that he should be trustworthy in that way. All right, let's look at Tzadi over here. Tfilu Moshe Yishol Lekim. Now, the following 11 Tehillim, we're starting from Tzadi, we're going all the way to Kuf. Okay, from Tzadi to Kuf, are all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. It starts off with Tfilu Moshe. We all know that Tzadi and Tzadi Aleph are technically connected to one another. The last Pasuk of Tzadi, Vihinu Am Hashem Elokeinu, right, connects with Yosef Sefer Elyon, which we say every Motzei Shabbos, right? Those go together, and we're going to see Tzadi Beis is Mizmor Shir Leyom Shabbos. Then comes Hashem Malach, the Shir for Shabbos and the Shir for Friday. And then we have Wednesday's Yom, and then we have after that Chun Ranano and the five Tehillims that we sing on Kabbalah Shabbos. And then Kuf is Mizmor Lasoda. We'll give little hints as to how we know that this is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, but the first one is obvious. Tefillah Moshe Yishol Lekim. Yeah.
So is this something Moshe wrote and it was just passed down to David, just added?
That is correct. It's Moshe Rabbeinu somehow wrote this down. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a piece on this in which he talks about when did Moshe Rabbeinu write Sefer Iyov and when did he write these 11 Pirkei Tehillim. He is convinced that Sefer Iyov was written before he left Mitzrayim, and it's all about how bad things happen. He's also convinced that Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos was written when he was in Mitzrayim before the age of 20, before he left. And we'll talk about that as we get to it. But the other ones, he doesn't say when he wrote them. It could be used by Yisro at the time. It could be good and later. Tfilu Moshe Yishalukim, the man of God, which I just talked about in the Chumashir this past Thursday, so I reference you to my Chumashir. Hashem, Ma'on Ato, you have been a place for people to be take refuge. Hayisa Lado B'dor V'dor, you have been for us for every generation. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. It's interesting, because Moshe Rabbeinu at best is talking about six generations. Because Moshe's father is Amram, right? Amram's father was Kehas. Kehas's father was Levi, that he got Yaakov Yitzchak Avram. And that's it. That's all you're dealing with. But you've been a refuge for us for generation after generation. Do remember, three of those generations, there were slaves. So it's not like we're dealing with good times. Everything's all good. Everything's been fine. But you've been a protection for us. Before all the mountains were created, and you have you made the land go down the Sevel as well as the earth. You were the one forever until ever. You were HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before anything was formed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you existed. And that's our belief. We do hold that as one of the animamins, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always existed before time, before anything existed. Tashev Enosh Adaka. You brought man down to the ground. You literally destroyed him. You made him feel like garbage. Vatomer Shuvah Bnei Adam. And then you say, do tshuva, O people. And obviously, people should do tshuva when they're down on the ground, waiting. Ki Elef Shana Be'enecha Ki Yom Esmol. 1,000 years in your eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like one day that has passed. Ki Avoy, when it passes, Vashmura Valaylo. And like a watch throughout the entire night. It's a cool idea. But this is the reason why Adam Rishon in this week's Parsha, right, was able to be told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'yom Acholchli Menetamus, on the day that you eat from it, you'll die. One of the Pirushim is based over here. Because a day is how long? 1,000 years in God's eyes. How long did Adam Rishon live for? 930. Within 1,000 years he was going to die. And in fact, he was supposed to live 1,000, but he didn't, because he gave his years to David HaMelech. That's what it meant. In 1,000 years, which is really a day, you're going to die. So it's not a stira to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. We learn it out from right over here. Zoramtam Shena Yiyu. You flooded them away, right? Sort of like they became like they were sleeping. Baboker Kechotzi Yachalof. In the morning, right? In the morning, they pass away like the grass. Like the grass is gone. And that's what happens to people. In the morning, you look and they're gone. By evening, it's cut down and it's brittle. Right? It seems very, very... Oh, no, it's the opposite. It grew and it sort of like reinvigorated itself. But in the evening, right, it dried up and became withered and became nothing, because you gave them all the strength that they needed, and then all of a sudden they lost it all. We have been destroyed in your anger. We have been confused out of your wrath. Because of how angry you are at us, we had no ability to stay. You placed our sins in front of you. All of your, right in front of your face, I guess you can call it, right? Are immaturity, our youth, I think that's what you'd call it.
Hidden deeds.
Hidden deeds, that's an interesting one. I would say alumenu is from the word alum, which is youth. Like that's a, what do you have? Oh, I have an English. Hold on. Concerning that. Our immaturity before the light of your countenance. That's good. Shakim Razimla Adecha. Alumenu. But it means like the terrible things that we have done, you're able to see. It's not like we can hide this. Because all of our days have turned right in your anger. And all of our years are withered, they're gone, like a fleeting, like a thought that goes through our heads. The most we live in this world, the days of the years of our lives are 70 years. And if we're really strong, we get to live 80 years. Most of them are sins of toil and sins. Kigaz chish ben ufa. This is one of my favorite words ever. Kigaz chish, because the time that is appointed comes quickly and then it's gone. I guarantee you somebody's going to ask you that question in Shemayim after 120. What does kigaz chish ben ufa mean? Right? You're going to be there and you're going to be like, I say those words, and they said every Shabbos in Pesukei Zimra. We're going to have no clue. Ki gaz chish ben ufa, because the years, right, come quickly by, and they fly away like a little bird. They're gone. Notice, by the way, if Moshe had been with us toward the end of his life, he wouldn't have said that a man lives to the age of 70 and at best 80. Makes no sense. He was 120 at the time.
He was on another level. He knew that. He knew that.
Yeah. Aaron was 3 years older than him. Miriam was 6 years older than him.
But everybody else was dying before him.
But only the people in the desert. Only the people in the desert. Right? But the other people.
In Egypt were dying.
But then he would have said, by the way, then he would have said 60. He wouldn't have said 70. Where does 70 come from?
Something behind it.
So there's two answers that they give for this. I think number one, this was David Melech's edition, that Moshe Rabbeinu originally wrote 120, and that he actually wrote 70 because he lived to the age of 70. If he was stronger, he would have lived to the age of 80. Or number two, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it when he was really, really young, and there were not that many people that were living that long because there were slaves. So he saw that most people lived to the age of 70 or 80.
Right, and he didn't know he was going to live to 120.
Right, he had no idea, because at the time he was 20. Right, that's one of the proofs that Rabbi Yaakov brings. How could it be that he wrote this when he's over 80? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this, Tfilu Moshe. He lived to 120. How could he write 70 and 80? That's one of the things Rabbi Yaakov writes about. But either way, that's that. Who knows how strong your anger is? And like your fear, that's your fury as well. In other words, the more we fear you, the more we understand your anger. Right, to count all of our days, right? That's the best thing to know. And bring ourselves to the heart of wisdom to understand everything. Hashem, return to us. How long does this have to be? And do console your servants. Satisfy us in the morning of your kindness. Allow us to sing and rejoice throughout all of our days. Make us happy the days of our affliction, the amount of days of our affliction. All the years that we saw evil. For this reason, there are seven different opinions brought in the Gemara and Sanhedrin around Sadi Testament Aleph, how long Mashiach is going to be for. One of the opinions is the amount of 70 years. Mashiach will be here for 70 years. Why 70 years? Because we had 70 years of Gullus, Bavel. Another person says 5,777 years, the amount of everything that we've had up until now. That's the amount. Another person says 6,000 years are going to be the years of Mashiach, but the years of Mashiach are going to be a certain amount. Samchinu, you should make us happy. Kimosi nisenu, like the amount of days that you made us be afflicted. That's how much we should be happy. Show your servant your works, and your glory upon their children. May the pleasantness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be upon us, and the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be established upon us, and our handiwork be established as well. That's a reference to when they built the Mishkan. This was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them when they built the Mishkan. He said, may God's handiwork be upon us, and may our handiwork be upon God, that we built the Mishkan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they begged HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do.